You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. California's primary is March 3rd. In the studio to discuss his campaign strategy and vision for Fresno is mayoral candidate Andrew Janz. He's facing former Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer. Well, thank you for being with us today, first of all. I'd like to talk about the campaign right off the bat. So we've got less than 2 months to go now before the election. What is your strategy, especially given the fact that you've kept a relatively low public profile compared to your opponent? I know your strategy was different than his, and I'm just curious, in this final stretch, are we going to see any changes in your strategy?
You know, we have 50 days to go, and I'm out there on the campaign trail every day, so I don't agree with those people out there that say that I'm not out campaigning. He's actually gone into hiding in the last couple of months, and he's being very selective, picking and choosing which places to interview. We've been struggling to do a joint interview with the Fresno Bee. That's been a challenge. He's walked away from a leadership council forum organized by Faith in the Valley. And so we've made a concerted effort to go everywhere to speak to the entire community. I've been on conservative radio. I've been on progressive radio stations. I accept every invitation to debate or go to a forum. I've had 3 town halls in the last 3 months. We are on track to do a town hall in every single city council district in the city of Fresno. We've had hundreds of people come out to our town halls. And if you're following us on social media, we're very active and engaged, which is sort of the new playing field for politics in this century. So in the next 50 days, what we need to do is increase voter turnout. This race is going to come down to turnout. And this is a nonpartisan race, but everybody knows that I am the progressive in the race, the Democrat. Everyone knows that he's the Republican, the Trump supporter in the race. And the city of Fresno has a voter registration advantage for progressives, 17 points, 33,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. And so it's going to be a large-scale get-out-the-vote effort amongst my campaign and the constituency group supporting my race.
So let's talk about some of the specifics of your strategy for the city. Where are your priorities when it comes to budget? I'm curious what a Janz budget will look like compared to a Lee Brand budget.
Well, let me talk a little bit about budgets. I have a pretty good background in terms of budgets. In my early 20s, I was a president and CEO of a nonprofit organization that towards the end of my term had close to a $2 million budget. I was selected by my university's president to sit on his budget oversight committee. That was a $100 million budget. During the peak of the recession, we had to make some very important, tough cuts to staffing positions and things like that. And so I've got that background in terms of handling budgets. To me, the most important thing about budgeting is transparency. The voters need to know where their funds are going. And right now, what we've seen at City Hall is a complete lack of funding for the things that people really care about in terms of parks, senior centers and the arts and all of the great things that will make our community more vibrant. And so to answer your question, how does a Janz budget look different from a Lee Brand budget? We're going to have more money for parks. We're going to have more money for public safety in terms of creating an accountable police force, community-based policing, and then also for fire protection. And so I'm one of the folks that is going to be pushing for what I'm calling right now Parks 2.0. The Parks measure failed in the last cycle. We're going to have another opportunity in 2020. We think that we're going to be able to get it on the ballot for November. And so me and other stakeholders in the community, folks at BHC, folks at the Central Valley Foundation, all of us are getting behind this initiative, and we think that we can get enough votes to pass this time around. And that's something that I'm going to be supporting.
Great. Let's move on to homelessness. You have said in the past that you thought it was a mistake when the city got rid of its homeless encampments. I'd like for you to unpack that. Why? Explain your thinking and really tell us what your plan is to tackle this incredibly complex issue.
It is a complex issue, and my criticism of them going in and demolishing the homeless encampment was really aimed at the fact that they didn't have a plan in place to to manage the people that we were going to displace from it. I understand that there were issues in terms of safety and sanitation, but those are issues that we could have addressed outside of completely demolishing that location. And so for me, there are multiple aspects to this problem. Number one, we need to do a better job of prevention. There are people that are right on the cusp of being homeless. And if you look at other cities around the country, there are programs in place in major cities that allow local governments to step in and help people who are maybe having a bad month, because most people are just one paycheck away from losing everything that they have. So we got to do a better job in terms of prevention. In the short term, the city has to do more in terms of putting the resources behind this issue. And I've been one of the people that's been out there, Assemblymember Joaquin Arambula, Ashley Swearingen. We've been out there calling on the governor to help us in terms of creating funding opportunities to create shelters and all of the good things that we know that we need to put roofs over people's heads. And so this past week, we've seen in the governor's budget $90 million. Much of that money is going to go to affordable housing and tackling the poverty issue. Long term, we need to make sure that we work better with the county to provide the resources that we know that are needed in terms of behavioral health, in terms of drug addiction. But our country needs to have a conversation about income inequality, where we have right now the top 1% of earners in our country controlling over half of the nation's resources in terms of wealth.
Which is certainly an issue, but not something you could tackle from the...
It's not a local issue, but I think that the mayor should use that soapbox to go after the issue of poverty, and I intend to do that as mayor.
Great. So whoever wins this election is going to play a central role in the selection of a new police chief. You've talked about the process in the past. What I'm curious about is, what do you want to see from the next police chief? What qualities or what experiences do you think are going to be important for the next person who fills that position?
Well, we need an ethical police chief. The last police chief that we had was a police chief for 18 years and engaged in politics, I think at the expense of the department. This was a police chief that had been sued as a department and personally for things like racial and gender discrimination. His second in command is now serving 4 years in federal prison for narcotics trafficking right under the police chief's nose. So we need a police chief that is going to be ethical, transparent, and somebody that's going to be a good steward of taxpayer dollars. We've spent over the last 18 years over $30 million in paying out lawsuits related to his malfeasance at the Fresno Police Department. And now he wants us to turn over the keys to running the city. The city of Fresno cannot afford another 4 years of Jerry Dyer. And so the next police chief has to believe that there's an issue in terms of criminal justice reform. I want somebody that's going to be able to come in and clean shop and boost the morale there. I work in public safety as a prosecutor, and I talk to many of the police officers there. Favoritism runs rampant. If you don't attend the right social gatherings, if you don't befriend the right people, you don't get promoted. And so there's a culture there that needs to be completely changed. And that is going to be one of my top priorities as the next mayor. The next mayor will pick the next police chief, not Lee Brand.
So what do you see as the relationship the mayor should have with local education institutions, K-12 and higher education? What should a mayor do in order to improve educational outcomes and increase access to educational opportunities?
You know, several years ago, our former mayor, Alan Autry, tried to be a little bit more engaged when it came to education policy, and voters pushed back on that. So I understand the history there, and I have to respect sort of the will of the voters when it comes to that. But that doesn't mean that there needs to be a complete separation between the two. And I think you're kind of alluding to this. There needs to be coordination between what the mayor's doing and what the school board is doing. And that is going to be part of my plan to refocus resources in creating healthy neighborhoods. We can only create healthy neighborhoods if there's adequate funding for education. And so I'm glad to see that in Sacramento under the previous administration, and I think under this administration, education is a key component of what they're doing. We have begun having conversations in terms of how we dole out dollars for education funding at the local level. You know, we have some of the highest funded schools in our community, and we have some of the least funded schools. And so that disparity, we need to close. Fresno has a very bad track record in terms of the high school to prison pipeline. In terms of racial inequality, we rank 59 out of 59 in terms of large cities in California in terms of this inequality. And so so education is absolutely a key to that. And so I want to develop a better relationship than we have now between the city and the school board.
So you work downtown. You have obviously been there to see the changes that downtown has experienced since the opening of Fulton Street. I'm wondering, are you pleased with the progress?
I think that we've made good progress since we've implemented the new master plan back in 2014. But we can do better. It is still very difficult for the city to get developers and investors to invest in downtown Fresno. And there's a number of reasons for that. And so as mayor, I want to make sure that we reduce the red tape that allows people to come in and fund projects, to have restaurants. I'm very critical of the current administration and letting the soccer team go. We should have done a lot more to keep them here. We didn't do enough. And so we need to make sure that especially downtown and the corridors that lead into downtown, we need to make sure that we continue to fund and promote business opportunities for people that want to turn the city around. I'm completely against what we've seen in the last 20 years. We are continually pushing the boundaries of Fresno to the exterior. Urban sprawl is run rampant. And so my priority is to focus resources on existing neighborhoods that have been ignored for an entire generation.
And what are you going to do with those resources? What's the plan?
Here's the thing. So there are a number of organizations and people right now that have put forward a roadmap to where we need to go. The DRIVE initiative is a perfect example of that. We have a large cross-section of our community that's come together around this proposal. The governor's office has actually recognized the DRIVE initiative in his latest allocation of $90 million to the city of Fresno and the outlying areas. And so there's already a plan, a very specific plan in place on what we need to do in terms of funding all of the things that we need to fund. And so I would direct your listeners to the DRIVE initiative. You can look it up online, and it's a very detailed roadmap of where we're going to go, and that's the roadmap that I'm going to follow.
So since we're downtown, let's talk high-speed rail. What are your thoughts? How does that fit into this larger conversation?
Yeah, I'm a big supporter of high-speed rail. Many of your listeners will remember in my last race when I ran for Congress, it was a big talking point amongst the two campaigns. But I think that it has been very difficult for California to sort of shoulder that project on its own. I've always been a big proponent of getting the federal government involved. Long-term, I think we're going to have a new Senate, a new Congress in 2021. I think we're going to have a new president. One of the first things they need to take up from the federal side of things is investing in America, investing in infrastructure. I think both parties agree that we need to rebuild our country. So we need a mayor that's going to be out there to be a champion for these big projects to come here to Fresno. I want to create a situation where people outside of our city limits understand that we're open for business. And so I'm going to be very aggressive in going after state and federal dollars to make sure big projects like high-speed rail are fully funded. It's going to create a ton of jobs and a lot of opportunity for people.
So last week on Valley Edition, we ran a story on the Tulare County city of Woodlake, which has generated over $800,000 in tax revenue through cannabis businesses. I'm curious, what is your stance on recreational marijuana sales in Fresno?
I've been a longtime supporter of recreational marijuana, and it I think stems a lot from my experience in working in public safety as a prosecutor and seeing that the war on drugs and really the war on cannabis has really not worked. This is a huge investment opportunity for the city of Fresno. Conservative estimates say that we're going to make, as a city, $500,000 a year on sales tax revenue from cannabis. I think it's going to be closer to $1 million. And so I've been a big proponent of making sure that we have a safe, regulated, and legal industry here in the city of Fresno. My opponent has flip-flopped on this issue. Nobody knows where he stands. We were on conservative talk radio where he was completely against the legalization of marijuana, but then in front of a GV Wire debate, he said that he was in favor of it. You know, folks in the cannabis industry are confused. You know, we're meeting with them. I think both campaigns are meeting with them to sort of lay out a roadmap of where we're going to go from here. And behind closed doors, he's telling them that that he's in favor of it, but then publicly he's against it. So, you know, it's really mixed messages, and this is the only issue that he's flip-flopped on. But under a Jans administration, the direction will be clear. We're going to have legalized cannabis in the city of Fresno, and we're going to do it safely. We're going to protect children, and we're going to use the sales tax revenue to fund projects that we desperately need here.
So speaking of children, you have one on the way.
Yes. Little baby girl. Doctors are telling us any day now.
Well, congratulations to you and your wife.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time.
It's my pleasure.
And we have also reached out to Jerry Dyer and his team several times for an interview, but they have not responded to our request.